On this week's episode, who wouldn't want to ride around in a car all day with Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke? Now grab your tickets, because we're getting to the theater. Welcome to the show. I'm Adam.
I'm Erica.
I'm Jeremy.
Today we're talking about 2001's Training Day, directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah, I think that's pronounced right. Yeah.
I hope so. This man also has directed...
so many good movies.
He directed all three of Denzel Washington's Equalizer films.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite film I think he's done is Magnificent Seven.
Great movie.
Another Denzel Washington movie.
And Ethan Hawke.
I haven't seen that one.
It's so good.
We saw it in theaters.
That was like one of our first date movies.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It was early in our relationship. So Jeremy, since you picked this film, you want to give a kind of quick synopsis of what it's about?
Sure. Training Day is a movie about a rookie cop who is desperate to join a narcotics unit so that he can become a detective. And he basically has to do a ride-along with a veteran narc. And it didn't go as he... thought it was going to go.
Yeah, definitely the worst day of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rough day. And the veteran is Denzel Washington in this movie. So this movie starts with... oh, actually, before that, this movie was actually written by David Ayer. He directed the 2016 Suicide Squad movie.
So the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one that no one really likes?
Yeah.
I mean, they made a second one. Excuse me. They made another one to kind of... paint over the first one.
And yeah, that second one was far better.
It was so good.
So this man's movies are mostly crooked cop films.
Oh, so he found a type and was like, I'm going to stick with this.
Yeah, so he did Street Kings, End of Watch, Sabotage, Fury, which not a cop movie. It's a World War II movie.
Is it about a crooked soldier?
No, it's about a... I can't find the right words. The soldiers are tank operators.
Crookedly?
No.
Oh.
They can't drive straight. Maybe this guy had a run-in with a crooked cop.
And he was like, I'm just going to hold it over forever.
Yeah, and he just started telling that same story over and over. Maybe he did a ride-along with the crooked cop.
Oh. Mm. He also did, he directed that new movie, The Beekeeper.
Is that about a crooked cop?
No.
Oh.
No.
A retired crooked cop.
No. It is about a guy who takes down crooked organizations, though.
Ah, but of course.
And he did a really... a movie that bombed, I believe, called The Tax Collector with Shia LaBeouf.
I thought you were going to say The Suicide Squad.
Got to tax him a little bit.
So Training Day
yes.
opens up with an alarm clock going off early in the morning.
5 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah. Officer Jake Hoyt wakes up as the first character we meet in the movie. His wife is there with their new baby girl.
And that baby is actually sucking on that titty.
Moo.
I think he said that.
Yeah, she said that.
No, moo. Yeah, because he's like, "What are you doing up?"
And she just goes moo. And I'm just like, okay.
And this, we never see the wife outside the house.
No,
she's only in this beginning scene with him getting ready.
Well, it is a newborn, so maybe she's still on like maternity leave.
I know, but it's just we meet his wife. They talk about his wife several times throughout the film, but this is the only time we ever see or hear from her.
It is. It fully takes place in 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a one day movie.
It's a rough fucking day. So he's getting ready for work. It's his first day on this narcotic squad. Mm-hmm. He wants to make detective, as Jeremy said. And their phone rings. And it is the first time we hear Denzel Washington's character, Alonzo Harris.
Wait, can we say how young both of them are in this movie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, it's a 31-year-old Ethan Hawke and a 47-year-old Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Like, mad young.
This is young now?
Yeah.
Compared to what they are now.
What they are now, yeah. Like, as being in our early 30s right now, like, contemporaries. It's weird.
I had to think for a second, and I was like, is this one of Ethan Hawke's earliest movies? And it's definitely not, because he was in...
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society when he was barely 20
mm-hmm.
in the 90s. So he's getting ready for work. Denzel Washington calls him and is like, are you going to
roll call?
Roll call.
Mm-hmm.
He says, yeah, I'm on my way there. He goes, no. Patrol officers do that. We don't do that. Meet me at this.
He definitely says something offensive. I can't remember exactly what it was.
He says things offensive throughout this whole film.
Yeah, no, I don't think this time he said anything offensive. It's the fact he hangs up in the middle of Hoyt talking.
That he does.
Because Hoyt's like, oh, so, you know, I really appreciate this and all that. And I'm really looking forward to being on the squad. And Denzel just hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
And he heads out. He meets him at the little diner. Denzel's sitting there reading a newspaper.
He looks like a whole ass Hotep. Like, when you see him.
Yeah. Yes.
Damn.
Like, he's there with his little cap.
Yeah.
Covered in, like, little chains. And I'm like, what? That looked like somebody's uncle. But all right.
I mean, he probably was.
Yeah.
Denzel has a lot of jewelry on in this movie. Multiple rings, bracelets on each wrist, two necklaces.
Mm-hmm.
That he probably just stole off of
random people.
Random people.
Evidence.
So when they meet at the diner, Denzel tells him, you know, go ahead and order something to eat. He goes, no, I'm good. I already ate. He goes, okay. Well, I'm going to read my newspaper. And Ethan Hawke keeps interrupting him. And Denzel's like, can I read my paper, please? And Ethan Hawke, Jake, is like, oh, you know, I'm going to order something. And Alonzo's like, no, fuck that. You said no.
You fucked that up.
So you're going to sit there and I'm going to read my newspaper. And he keeps interrupting him. And Denzel goes, you know what this is? It's a newspaper. It's 90% bullshit, but it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He says, since you won't let me read my newspaper, now you entertain me. Tell me a story.
And Ethan tells him an incredible story.
It's amazing.
So good.
They stopped a guy at a traffic stop for being drunk with guns in the car and a couple pounds of methamphetamine?
I think so.
Narcotics, either way.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, we stopped a murder. And Denzel says, really? You've been on the street for a year, and that's the most exciting thing you could tell me.
With a female cop.
With his female officer.
Partner, yeah.
Yeah, I heard the phrase, a liquor license, and I still don't know what that is.
He explained it.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not following.
She got a liquor license?
He's basically asking if she was a lesbian.
Oh.
Yeah, he literally immediately said that afterwards.
Yeah, but are like lesbians the only ones that go down? No, that can't.
When did the movie come out? This movie came out in 2001.
There you go. The movie came out in 2001.
That goes to show that Alonzo was not servicing his women. I'm sorry, his wife and Eva Mendes.
Look, in 2001, for a woman to have one of those, it was different. It was a different thing.
Mm.
But also, of course, Alonzo isn't doing that. He's the most selfish asshole there is.
That's true.
Everything he does is for him. Later on in the movie, when his son is in possible crossfires of a shootout, he doesn't do a fucking thing to try to protect that kid.
He turns the gun on the kid.
He aims the gun right at him. He's a piece of shit.
He's a selfish guy. We've established that.
Yeah.
Awful.
He definitely does not have a liquor license.
No.
But goddamn, Denzel played the fuck out of that character.
Yeah, won an Oscar for it.
His second Oscar, which I didn't know. I thought this was his first.
No.
But he won one for Glory back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone does really well in this movie. And I mean, Denzel's character, he makes you hate his character, which to me, he's doing a good job.
Yeah, that's the mark of a good villain.
He's playing a piece of shit.
You were supposed to hate that fucking character.
And then he has a funny thing about, he's like, did you fuck your partner? And he goes, man, I got a wife. He goes, you got a dick too, don't you? He goes, all right. Now the dick's down in the middle. To the left of that and to the right of that, there's pockets. In those pockets, there's money. Pay for the check. I love that part. That was great. He makes him pay for his lunch. He walks out to his car. And on the hood of the car, there's a little blue menu under the windshield wiper. And he tells Ethan Hawke, you know, grab that menu and throw it in the glove box. That menu comes into play later.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two or three other things kind of like that. They're very small and subtle.
They all come into play later.
Yeah, big ways later.
This is when we see his tricked out car with all the hydraulics.
Yeah, his Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Nice car.
Nice car. Very impractical for the services.
For a cop, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they, after they leave the diner and get in the car, this is our first of our many, many car rides in this film.
Oh, man.
And Denzel's basically telling him, you know, you stick with me, you're going to learn these streets and everything. And Ethan Hawke says, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he's got a very serious look on his face because he still, at this point, wants to be part of this team. Huge fucking mistake.
Yes.
Huge.
Alonzo mentions that he has four sons and asks Jake, you know, if he's married, he's got kids. Yeah, I got a little girl.
Are they counting Eva Mendez's son as one of the four sons?
I think so.
I assumed.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. His name's Alonzito.
Now, I mean, he is married, and it's not to Eva Mendez.
Yeah.
But I just assumed they were counting all four of his kids.
Maybe they're not counting him.
Right? I mean, it might be his side kid.
Oh, yeah, it might actually be his side kid. They might
like
not be
the
counting
one
him
that shows up at the funeral, and everyone was like, oh, my God, where'd this outside son come from?
Uh-huh. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he just talks about the four he has with his wife, even though we never meet her.
Yeah.
And they mention her like twice in the movie.
Mm-hmm. He did say, never bring your family into this.
Yeah.
And he never brought his family into it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he didn't care so much about this kid, because he's an outside kid.
Maybe that's why we never saw Jake's family again, too.
Maybe.
It's like, don't bring your family into this shit.
But he tells him, he goes, let me know if you need a son. I never miss.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, hey, I'll fuck your wife for you if you need me to.
Yeah.
So he scummy.
He's just starting off scummy.
Very bad.
And he...
the best first impression ever.
Great, isn't it? And he Jake has the comment of like, well, let's not, you know, bring my wife into this. And Denzel tells him, you know, if you hide that shit, because people on the street will use that against you. And he goes, don't wear your wedding ring at work. Take that shit off.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull up under this tree, and they're watching some people across the street. And Denzel tells him, you know, that one kid there, he's 17. Don't let that fool you, though. He kills, like, the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of his informants. He's doing a drug deal.
Well, he likes to call him a teammate.
Oh, sorry. Teammate.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as he's useful to Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
And they see them. I wrote down in my notes, Beetle drug bust.
Who goes on a drug deal in a Volkswagen Beetle?
2001 college kids.
That's right.
They roll up and they buy, and he says it's just weed, and they chase him down, no sirens on.
Which, how do they know? Like, they pull over for random people. Like, if a random parked car...
He swerved in front of them.
Right?
So...
I don't know. I've been like, I'm getting robbed. I'm really like, these can't be cops. These can't be real cops. No, I mean, siren, nothing.
They have an unmarked car, no sirens. Yeah. They don't show their badges. They literally just point guns at them and shout police.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 2001, somebody swerves in front of you, you slam on the brake, they jump out with guns, you probably gonna be like, oh shit.
In LA too? Yeah, I'm like, oh, these aren't cops. I'm just getting robbed.
Yeah. Right. I'm just being robbed right now.
So, yo, just take it. Just take everything. Don't shoot me.
Yeah. So he takes the weed. He takes the pipe. And the one guy has the funny comment of, man, my mom gave me this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't care who gave it to you.
Mom gave me this pipe. I actually did not think about how crazy that was at the time.
Yeah. Erica asked when we were watching it, do you think his mom really gave him that?
Yeah.
Like, she might have.
Maybe.
2001 was crazy times.
She's one of those cool moms that's cool with her kid smoking weed.
Yeah.
In 2001.
Here's a pipe.
And this is where they're driving around. And he says, you know, Alonzo tells him, a real narcotics agent knows their narcotics and has narcotics in their blood.
Right in his blood.
And he's loading the pipe. And Ethan Hawke says, you man, you going to smoke that? And Alonzo says, no, you are. Smoke this shit. Like, no, I'm not doing that, man. He goes, come on, smoke it. Smoke it. Slams on his brakes in the middle of an intersection. Puts a gun to Ethan Hawke's head. And... it's something about, he says something like, if this was a drug deal, you'd already be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of my car. This is where he calls him poopy ass.
Okay.
Little poopy ass boy. And people are honking. They're sitting in the intersection. Yeah. He tells him, get out of my car. You know, I don't want you in my squad. And Ethan Hawke.
This is when Ethan Hawke should have left.
That's when he should have left.
Yes.
Denzel Washington spends this entire fucking film gaslighting Ethan Hawke.
Yes, because then he has the nerve to act like he didn't hold a gun to this man's head and threaten him. To smoke this, like...
He immediately said it after he smoked it. He was just like, hey, it ain't like I put a gun to your head or something.
Right. Nothing he says to Ethan Hawke is honest. Not a fucking thing he says to him.
Yeah.
And Ethan Hawke is good and fucked up. And this is where Denzel tells him, oh, yeah, that wasn't just weed. There was also PCP in there. So you got some really good shit going through your system right now.
He is fucked up.
Denzel takes him to Roger's house for the first time, played by Scott Glenn, who some people would recognize as Clarice Starling's boss from Silence of the Lambs at the FBI. It's the one movie I always think of him from.
Hmm.
Okay.
And he's this dude, Roger. He's seemingly friends with Alonzo. Like, they're really tight. Like, they're greeting each other, calling each other brother and all that, joking, bullshitting around.
Right.
And he basically asked Roger, you know, what do you think of this kid? And when they got to his house, Roger got up and answered the door, and he's wearing a bathrobe. After they pulled Jake into the house and they closed the door, Roger has his hands in his pockets of the robes. I don't know if you guys caught that. And when he sits down, he takes his hands out of his pockets. He has a gun in each pocket, and he sets them on the coffee table. So Roger was always prepared for some shit to go off.
Always.
And yet.
Shit goes off.
I mean, he is a criminal.
He is. He just, this is the only scene where Denzel seemed like he genuinely liked somebody. Like, because his interaction with between him and Roger, they were very hostile. Friendly.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, with Roger. I thought you were going to say with Jake.
No, with Roger. They're very friendly toward each other.
Yeah, they are.
Very brotherly.
I mean, they're kind of like the same type of person, so.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain they were basically like the same type of person.
Absolutely. But we just don't see that of Roger.
Yeah.
Was Roger the person that brought Denzel in?
I think so.
Was that his training officer?
I think so, yeah.
I believe he is
because Roger said you were just like him mm-hmm. when you first came in.
Yeah. So he might have been.
And then later on, Denzel says, I watched that guy.
For 10 years.
Yeah, for 10 years. I watched him do what he did for 10 years.
But so, I think that was just... Hell, that could have been another fucking lie.
Could have been, but it seemed pretty genuine. Like, I feel like he actually did watch that guy. I mean, that's probably where he learned to do what he does.
Yeah.
Could be. But I liked Roger. He was probably a scumbag, but we just never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because also, why was Roger keeping stats on these high school boys, football team, or members?
I mean, he might just be one of those people that follows prospective athletes.
That's weird.
I almost said sports players, but athletes. I don't know. Because he knows, because he asked Hoyt, you know, what's his last name? And when he tells him, he goes, you played strong safety
mm-hmm.
at North Hollywood?
Next, yeah, where are you from?
Yep, North Hollywood.
Yep.
Last name Hoyt. And Jake is high out of his mind right here. And he goes, how'd you know that? And Denzel says, yeah, how the fuck did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I follow all the good players. He tells this joke that doesn't really have much of a punchline about the snail.
Yeah, and that poor snail.
Snail gets kicked off a porch by a guy, breaks his shell, spends a year crawling back up to the porch. And when he gets there, the guy comes out again and looks at the snail and says, what the fuck is your problem? And Ethan Hawke starts to laugh and no one else is laughing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's not funny. That's not funny. I'm like, why are you laughing then? Mm-hmm. And then they're laughing at him. And Roger tells him, if you figure that joke out, you'll figure out the streets. I still haven't figured that fucking joke out. I don't know what the fuck that means.
But Ethan Hawke's like, I know the streets. It smiles and cries.
Mm-hmm. Smiles and cries.
Which also makes no sense.
Maybe they were just talking a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, if you can control your smiles and your cries, then you're good. Because that's the only thing they can take away from you. Or can't take away from you. Oh, but they also, this is the first time we hear about Vegas.
Yeah.
When they first get there, Roger mentions to Alonzo, heard you had some trouble out in Vegas last mm-hmm. week. And he says, nah, man, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. He says something about I think he mentions the Russians at that point.
Yeah.
But this is the first little inkling that something's going on with Alonzo outside of this day.
Yep.
Roger kind of likes Hoyt and they're getting up to leave. And Roger mentions he has 1 year left before he can retire to the Philippine Islands.
And he's so excited to be in the Philippines. And I'm like, I was rooting for him.
Yeah, and Denzel even has that thing. He's like, man, let me come with you. And Roger says, oh, you're invited.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of stuff that like gave me the impression that Roger actually genuinely thought that was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's playing him the whole time. And they're back in the Monte Carlo. And this is the part where Ethan Hawke's kind of passed out. And Denzel's taking beers out of that plastic holder on top of him.
Yeah.
And this man's just cracking open a beer and drinking and driving.
Well, who's going to pull him over?
Right.
Right.
He was drinking at Roger's house. He's drinking behind the wheel now. And he tells Ethan Hawke, you know, drink this. It'll make you feel better.
No one's wearing a seatbelt.
Nobody.
Also, Jake has not eaten.
This whole day.
And he has.
No, he said he did.
Yeah?
That's why he didn't eat at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, because he said he ate already.
He said he ate already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, but.
But then he tried to get something to eat. He's like, I will grab a bite. But anyway, yeah, now so.
But like at the earliest he ate is probably like 6 o'clock. So this man is probably starving and stoned.
Yeah, he done got high. He done had a drink at Roger's house. Now he's offering him a beer. And I'm like, he's just trying to get this guy messed up.
On a light stomach, probably. This guy is not doing so hot for most of this movie.
No. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long PCP lasts in your system, but this guy takes took three good hits off that pipe of PCP laced weed.
What is PCP?
PCP.
I actually don't know. The only real point of reference I have for it is in The Terminator, where Lance Henriksen mentions that...
Is Lance Henriksen the guy from Alien, the milk guy?
Yeah. Okay. Bishop the Android.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he mentions that some dude was high on PCP and he punched through a windshield and didn't even feel it.
Damn.
That's all I got about PCP.
Is this where we run into Snoop?
No, this is where we run into the
when he goes out guns blazing.
Yeah.
High off of PCP, running with his gun in the air, stopping traffic.
Yeah.
Because he saw they were driving by an alley and Ethan Hawke's looking out the window and he sees what looks like a person being attacked in an alley by a homeless guy. He jumps out of the car and there's nothing less dangerous than a guy high on PCP running through the street with a loaded gun and a badge.
Yes.
Because what is wild is like he's holding it weird too. Like he's holding it like in his pants. And then he's running with his hands. It was weird. That was a whole weird run.
Yeah, it was kind of. I think I blinked at the part where he saw the people in the alley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I swear I must have blinked or something because I didn't even know why he was like, hold up, stop. I'm just like, why are they stopping?
Yeah, he sees just really quick. I think it was the black guy in the alley throwing the girl against the wall.
Yeah.
And he jumps out of the car and he runs over. He beats the shit out of these two guys,
too. Rightfully so, though.
He was high.
Oh, yeah.
PCP!
Yeah. PCP? He beat the hell out of these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And Denzel's just standing there. He backs the car up to the alley, and he's just standing there watching the guy get his ass kicked. He's just smoking a cigarette. Ethan Hawke zip-ties both of them, and Denzel doesn't really give a shit, because he wants to do drug busts. He doesn't care about this.
Yeah.
They tell the girl to go home, because she ditched school.
The world's oldest 14-year-old.
Yeah. I said this one was clearly 20.
But I don't think she's 14.
Oh, definitely not.
No.
But she mentions her cousins are from Hillside.
Yeah.
Which is important.
And she's cursing them out in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell her to leave, but Ethan Hawke is like, oh, I gotta get a statement. And Alonzo, no. We don't, no. Checks these guys, finds a rock on one, finds a little bit of cash, finds a crack pipe, smashes the crack pipe. The one dude's getting an attitude, and he tells Alonzo, you know, suck my dick, bitch.
Which I think... He was called bitch a lot in his past because it seems to trigger him.
Oh, like, he was mad.
Yeah.
It does. It does. But he tells the guy, oh man, what he tells him that he'll lock him up and basically he's going to get fucked in prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when the guy says the suck my dick bitch. And Denzel goes, yeah, that's usually how it starts.
He wasn't even calling the prison. He was calling it the booty house.
The booty house.
Yep. Yeah.
So he cuts this guy's zip ties. He jabs him in the fucking throat and then he threatens to shoot off one of his nuts. And he tells him, you know, which one you want to keep? And then he hits him really... He punches him in the crotch and basically just walks away. They leave that one guy zip-tied.
Mm-hmm. And then he's just screaming after Ethan Hawke.
He's just talking shit. And yeah. Ethan Hawke finds the wallet.
Yep, that's what prompted him to actually turn around and find the wallet is because that guy was yelling at him.
Yep. And that's another little detail that comes into play later.
Yeah. And it was really
remember that wallet, everybody.
Because we like find out she's 14 and he was like... But she's all woman. I'm like, she's literally 14. This child is in middle school. Like,
I don't think I could have walked away from that guy. I would have smacked the shit out of him with
something.
Saying all of that, I would have fucked him up.
But I did like that Denzel Washington didn't hit him until he was out of restraints.
Because
once someone is in restraints, you can't touch him. So he made sure to cut him loose first, and then he smacked him around a little bit.
Hmm.
And they're back in the car riding, and then he pulls over on this corner. And we get the second greatest cameo in this movie.
Wait. Before that, when they're still in the alley, he uses one of his many catchphrases. He says, you want to go to jail or you want to go home?
Mm-hmm.
And he lets the two attackers leave.
Which he should have put him in jail.
Should have put him in jail.
Yeah.
And that's what Ethan Hawke wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where they're riding around and car ride number 100. And they have that conversation about, you know, wolves protect the sheep from other wolves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, you a wolf?
Oh, and then they start howling.
They start howling, and he goes, man, I said a wolf, not a chicken.
A rooster.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the cameo.
The second greatest cameo ever of Snoop Dogg in a wheelchair. Working the hell out of that wheelchair. I was like, damn, he is smooth with this.
As soon as they pass him, I was like, is that what I think it is?
Uh-huh.
Wait, what was the first cameo?
This movie's full of faces I recognize.
Because the best cameo is Dr. Dre.
Oh, okay.
I also like Macy Gray's cameo as well.
I was going to say Terry Crews.
Terry Crews. That's not a cameo because he wasn't famous then.
It's still a cameo to me.
It's a cameo to me, too.
Terry Crews. He doesn't have a single word of dialogue when he shows up later.
We count it.
We recognized him before that, like...
Wait. Don't spoil it yet. Don't spoil it yet. When we get there. It was really funny.
Yes.
But Snoop's character's name is Blue.
Ah.
He's in this wheelchair. And when they roll up, Ethan Hawke is like, let me get $20 worth of crack.
Do you reckon that's like a... This might be probably me overthinking it. But, like... In the Temptations movie, the character of Blue ends up in that wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
You reckon that's a reference to that?
Maybe. I also thought it was just a reference to him being a crip. But
okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to go with that Temptations theory.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, I didn't think about it.
I like that. Also, him being in that wheelchair is important later on. There's another little line later on in the film. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Erica's looking at me confused right now.
I'm very confused.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you when we get there.
She wasn't actually watching a movie. She was on her phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I was not into this film. Not at all.
So Snoop has a great line. He's looking in the car, and he goes, it smells like bacon up in this bitch.
Yeah.
And he takes off down the street.
Zipping, whipping his little wheelchair around.
He calls Ethan Hawke a rookie, he's chasing after him. Come on, man. Give me a break. He wheels into the store. And when he wheels into this little Korean lady's store, he really quick, you see him throw something back in his mouth.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a real quick shot. And he's trying to go through this back door, and Ethan Hawke's got a hold of the back of his shirt. He's trying to slide his chair through, and he falls out of the chair. And Ethan Hawke, Jake, pats him down.
I think he threw that chair. I think he threw him out of the chair.
See, I thought he just was holding onto the chair and he fell forward out of it.
Because he couldn't get him out of it and he was just like, fuck it, I'm going to just throw this guy out of his chair.
Do you think a cop would throw a crippled guy out of a wheelchair, Jeremy? No.
I mean, maybe in 2001. Not
the LAPD.
Maybe not in 2001.
Yes.
And if you would have asked me then, I'd have been like, oh, nah, a cop wouldn't have done that.
But of course not.
But now?
Like me in 2001, I would have been like, no, a cop would never. Me now?
We were all children in 2001.
He would have shot that guy in the wheelchair before he made it into the store.
That's true.
In a place he could feel.
Mm-hmm.
So he falls out of the chair. He gets him in handcuffs. He checks him. He finds a gun on him. And Denzel comes in. He's like, hey, man, who are you working for? Where are the drugs? He goes, man, I don't do that anymore. And he checks his mouth, doesn't see anything in there, and asks Ethan Hawke, you got a pen? And he does that trick where he shoves the pen down his throat and makes him throw up. And he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's a lot of drugs. That's a felony right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan Hawke goes, I also found this gun on him. He goes, ooh, with your record? Man, you get 10 years per bullet.
10 years per bullet.
He goes, give me a name. He goes, man, I'm not a snitch. He goes, I know you're not a snitch. Takes a bullet out of the gun. That's 10 years. Come on, man. Pushes another bullet out of the magazine. That's 20. Another one, 30.
Give me a name.
And he just tells him, is it Sandman?
Yeah.
Sandman.
That's all I know.
And he has that line again. You want to go to home? You want to go home or you want to go to jail? He tells Jake, unhook him. You want to collect that evidence? Jake says, oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave. Snoop Dogg's gone. He's not in the movie anymore. He calls someone named Bob, and he's looking for an address on Sandman. And they find his real name, give him an address, and they pull up to the house in... Damn, I didn't write down where this was, but it was another gang area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gang members all over the place. Alonzo tells Jake to put on this police jacket. He grabs a search warrant, and we as the audience don't see what it is, but Jake tells him, man, we can't do that. And Alonzo says, fuck that, we can do what we want, we're the police. We also get the first glimpse in his trunk. He's got a bunch of just random shit in there, and he goes, it was stuff that wasn't claimed. Stuff from, like, my informant's families and stuff like that. It's like,
because he murdered the informants.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised. They go to this house, and this is where it's Macy Gray?
Yes.
The singer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and see, I didn't know who Macy Gray was. All right, let me phrase that. I knew the name. I couldn't have recognized her. So I didn't know this was another celebrity cameo.
She popped up, and I was like, oh, shit!
Yeah, but they tell her, we got a search warrant. It's really funny, because when they go in, they immediately force her to the ground to check her for weapons. And when she gets back up again, she's still got that cigarette in her hand. She never let go of that cigarette. She says she might have two juvenile nieces and one possible juvenile nephew there. Mm-hmm. He's in the house. They bring him out front. And Denzel's like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and commence the search.
And I think this is the moment that Ethan Hawke was like, this is fucked up.
There's something hinky going
on. Yeah, he's like, this ain't right.
Mm-hmm. And Macy Gray's just talking shit to him.
The whole time.
She's like, you're a rookie. She's like, you got to get liquored up to do your job, smelling the booze on his breath.
Yeah.
Denzel's in there turning over that bedroom. And you don't get a good glimpse of it, but you can see he does find some money and he stuffs it in his shirt.
Mm-hmm. They give you just a little snippet of it.
Yeah.
This might be a dumb question. Actually, I know this is a dumb question.
Oh, no.
Can't wait to hear it.
As a drug dealer, can you not have a bank account?
Well, I mean, it's going to look kind of suspicious when that money's in there.
The people buying drugs from you are usually probably paying in cash.
Yeah, they're probably not rolling up with Cash App.
So you can't go deposit it? Well, I mean, they might be now.
I mean, maybe. But also, if you're going to deposit that money, okay, when they start asking questions about it, how are you going to explain it?
Oh, it's 2001. So you can't just roll up to the ATM and put the money in to deposit it.
No, you could do that, but then it's going to look like, all right, where's this income coming from? What are they doing for this money?
Well, just do a little bit at a time.
Makes it a little easier for police to take it from you, too.
Right. Okay. If you have it in cash, it is much easier for the dirty cops to take it from you.
But if it's in the bank.
But if it's in the bank, then there's proof that there is money, and then you need to explain where that money is coming from.
Gotcha.
And they can freeze your account.
They can freeze your account. And now, if you laundered the money, then they could put it in the bank.
Okay.
Because then you don't need to hide it.
Maybe people need to start maybe not keeping money under the bed, but maybe in a hole in your backyard.
Under your kitchen?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good spot. I'd never look there.
Or in a weird drawer where you have to open the oven to pull down the dishwasher to get to the drawer.
Yeah, but then you'd have to buy something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oddly enough, she was hiding it in a dresser drawer by the look of it.
Because
you get the shot of Denzel tossing the bedroom. He picks up the mattress. He pulls a bunch of drawers out. And at one point, he stopped. And he just looks over his shoulder to see what Ethan Hawke is doing. And that's when you get a brief glimpse of him stuffing this money down the front of his pants. And then he comes out and goes, I'm sorry. There was a mistake. We were wrong. We're going
to
leave.
I just feel like as a drug dealer, y'all need to, they need to invest. Use some of that money and invest in, a secret compartment in a dresser. You know?
I mean, if you were thinking that much, you probably wouldn't have been a drug dealer in the first place.
That's true.
If you were smart.
Or you could do this one guy in another cop crime movie that the walls of his house were lined with all of his money and contraband and
brilliant
evidence he had on all the judges and everything. It was how he was in power. It was a lot all of effort. Lining the walls of his house.
Was it written by David Ayer?
It was directed by him, actually.
Oh.
Of course.
Directed by him.
That's also a lot of effort.
For real, yeah.
Because as soon as you need that stuff out, you got to tear through your wall and then patch it back up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the wall was just all. This guy had a wall from ceiling to floor that was money, drugs, and evidence on people to keep them in line for his nefarious crimes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Macy Gray's character is like, let me see that warrant. And he goes, oh, yeah, here you go. And he hands her the fucking menu that was on the hood of his car at the beginning of the movie.
And she doesn't even, she goes and looks at the room. She's like, oh, he took my money. And, runs after him.
Mm-hmm. And she calls for the gang members. Like, you know, they're not cops. They just robbed me. The car won't start. The only time this happens. Little moment of tension here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Denzel gets out guns blazing.
Blasting. Yeah,
he does.
But no one can seem to hit anything.
I mean, it is a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, only thing that gets hit is the rear windshield.
Mm-hmm.
But those bullets miss Alonzo and Jake completely.
Completely.
So when they drive away, this is where they go to.
Is this where they go to Eva Mendes' house?
Hmm.
Yes, this is where they have their another car ride, and they go to the jungle, which is a neighborhood where Ethan Hawke mentions that he had heard about it, and he says you should never come down here with anything less than a full platoon.
Mm-hmm. This is where he gets food.
This is where he eats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, this is where we have the Terry Crews cameo.
Mm.
And we recognized him.
By the back of his head.
Yeah. He was on this roof clapping with these pigeons.
Making bird noises. And we were like, is that Terry Crews?
Yeah. They were using the pigeons as a way to tell the neighborhood that Alonzo was there.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jake looks at them and was like, what's with the birds? And the guys are standing at the front gate. And this one dude, Bones, I think might have been his name. I said he looked like an off-brand Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Hmm.
And they let Alonzo in. They're real friendly. He goes, you know, appreciate what you did for my nephew.
Yeah.
And as soon as Alonzo's out of earshot, he goes, man, I hate that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't stand him.
Mm.
This is where we meet one of his, as he calls her, one of his dimes. A 25-year-old?
25, 27-year-old Eva Mendes.
Yep. Who has his possible fifth child.
This movie set off her career. Like, it wasn't her first movie, but it's the one that launched her into stardom.
When was she in Too Fast, Too Furious?
2003.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this movie came out the same year as Fast and Furious, didn't it? 2001.
Mm-hmm. So where she once again played the good-looking love interest.
Mm. Where there was no build-up for that whatsoever.
No.
What do you mean, for a love interest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it don't take much for some dudes.
To
see a good-looking lady, it's like, I love her. It was love at first sight.
Do you think she's being held hostage in this relationship?
Probably.
Okay, well,
because I feel like she doesn't actually want to be in this relationship.
Imagine you were minding your own business and then this crooked cop took an interest in you.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that this crooked cop kills people and has a lot of money and probably has drugs too.
Yeah.
But it might also be a thing where she's just in it because there's probably benefits to having Alonzo around.
But you're still in this not great place.
Oh boy, it's not great.
It's definitely not great. But
raising a son that he is definitely not claiming. He's not paying child support.
But, I mean...
She's probably working a dead-end job.
He's got drug money.
She might not be. He might be taking care of her. Again, the benefits to keeping him around.
I feel like he's not.
I mean, he might not be.
Yeah.
We never see that side of it.
That's true. But, like, I feel like now that he's dead, that kid definitely has a target on his back.
She seems to be in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, for the most part.
Usually.
We always see her with him. And so it also might be her faking it to stay alive.
Also, we don't know if she's with another one of those dudes in the neighborhood either, because it ain't true. Like he there all the time.
That's right. True. That's true.
And they don't like him.
Mm-hmm. That is also so true.
She could be playing him just as much as, other way around. Mm-hmm. So,
When they rolled up to the jungle, too, Alonzo told Jake, he goes, don't ever come up here without me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a safe place for cops or outsiders.
Or him.
Yeah. Eva Mendez's character, her name is Sarah, by the way.
Did they ever say her name? Because I don't remember.
They said it. They said it at least once
when they introduce her.
Yeah, I think when they introduce her, and then whenever she speaks, we had the subtitles on, so it had her name popped up there too.
She was really funny though when she sits someone on the couch. It's like, I have cable and you can watch anything you want.
This is your home, and
she brings him out a little tray of food.
Yeah,
I was thinking to myself, she's being a little bit too welcoming,
right? And then, but then is that the moment she's like, I gotta go handle. And I was like, that was the moment I was like, maybe she's not in this voluntarily.
Might not be. But Jake falls asleep on the couch with the son.
Jake is a better father to this kid.
Yeah, they're watching cartoons.
Than Alonzo has been.
I mean, ever. I would have watched cartoons with a little homie too.
Yeah, this kid's like snuggled up to him. They're like hanging out. And I was like, oh. Okay.
I don't know. I throw this whole kid out, man. He had a fucking rat tail.
He did have a rat tail.
Yeah. And you see it really prominently later on in the movie.
It was 2001. Yeah. Anakin gets a rat tail 2 years later.
Ugh. He actually looked kind of like this dude I used to know when I was in fucking, I actually want to say it was pre-K. And that dude also had a rat tail. He was mixed and he had a rat tail. His name was CJ. Mm-hmm. Shout outs to CJ if you're out there still with the rat tail. If you had a rat tail in pre-K and your name was CJ, I'm talking about you.
I knew a guy who had a rat tail all the way throughout middle school.
No.
Yes. Because this is around that time. Like 2003. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I was in sixth grade in 2001.
Yeah. I was in fourth grade in 2001, but.
Damn, when was I in pre-K?
Probably like 1996.
Probably.
Five?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Shout outs, Rat Tail going all the way back.
The OG Rat Tail.
Yeah, 95, 96 Rat Tail.
All right, now I talked all that shit. Cool. I talked all that shit about Rat Tails. When I was about 9, I wanted one.
Damn.
You would.
You were 9, bro. It's
you
okay.
Would.
Yeah.
All 9-year-olds want a rat tail.
Yeah.
Did your parents let you get one?
No.
Oh,
God, no.
Because I feel like your mom would have probably been like, yes, but your dad probably would have been like, no.
My dad definitely not. My dad hated long hair.
Wow.
Dudes.
Sounds about like what happened with my family.
Well, yeah. I don't remember ever asking to have one. I just remember I wanted one.
Mm.
Yeah. But I know I didn't have one. I wasn't a gross little boy.
My mom wouldn't let me have the hairstyle I wanted when I was young either.
No, my mom was way more relaxed about it. When I wanted to let my hair grow out, when I wanted to shave my head, my mom was cool with it. My old man didn't like it. Because my dad had the same haircut my entire fucking life.
And he wanted you to have it too?
Not necessarily. But he didn't like dudes to have long hair. My dad had that military mentality. I remember that one of the first times that when I moved down here, I grew my hair out. And my dad was like, you need to get it cut or something. You're not doing anything with it. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
I mean, it's clean. I washed my hair.
That means I'm doing something.
What do you want from me? But again, my dad had the same haircut my entire 27 years of knowing him. The buzz on the sides and back, just enough up top to comb. So long hair was a no-go.
Yep, sounds like my family.
Now, this comes from a man. I also have photographs of him with long hair when he was a teenager. Jeremy put his head down.
Got radicalized.
That military man.
Yep, started cutting it.
15 and a half years, he got stuck with it. So, Alonzo wakes Jake up on the couch and tells him, hey, we got a meeting in 15 minutes.
And then he has like a weird moment with his son.
I can't say if it's weird or not because they're speaking in Spanish and I barely know English. So I don't know 90% of the words they were saying. I understood Mijo.
He had to talk to the little mans a little bit, let him know he loved him before he left.
But at no point was he like, te amo, you know? He was just like, you good? And he was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Like the most affectionate thing he does is he kisses his hand and puts it on the kid's forehead.
It's hard to express affection, okay?
All right. I don't know. Toxic masculinity is really ruining this relationship between the man and his side kid.
Yeah, that's what's doing it. Not the fact he's a complete piece of shit human being.
Yes.
Yeah, he that's all he could muster for affection, okay? He was a terrible dude. No, emotionally stunted.
Very.
All he knew was sex and violence.
Mm. Yep. So the meeting is at this little nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're meeting with the three wise men, who are Police Captain Lou Jacobs, D.A. Stan Gursky, and Detective Doug Roselli. And all three of these men I recognize.
But couldn't tell you where you saw them?
No. Couldn't tell you their names without looking it up.
Mm.
So the first guy, Captain Lou Jacobs, some people would recognize him as Raylan Givens' father from the first four seasons of Justified. Where he plays a piece of shit. He's a down-and-out criminal, will not snitch on people for shit.
Good for him.
But he's a terrible father. He's the worst character in that show.
Would you say he's emotionally stunted like Denzel?
That's right.
Worse.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a great part where he's like lying on his deathbed at one point, and Raylan is trying to get some information out of him. You know, just tell us who this guy is. And he pulls him real close, and he goes, kiss my ass. He's a piece of shit. In the last season, Raylan gathers up all of his stuff and just burns it. Mm. He does not give a fuck about him because he never gave a fuck about Raylan. The second guy, the DA, that is John Berenger, who is he's like an action movie star. At least that's what I know him from, some action movies back in like the 80s and stuff.
Okay.
Like I think he was in this movie called The Substitute, where this mercenary goes undercover as a substitute teacher to find out who killed his brother.
Is this the original Kindergarten Cop?
Wow.
Kinda, yeah. Except he's out of high school.
Okay.
And the last guy is actually Harris Yulin, who some people recognize as the judge from Ghostbusters 2. He's talking about the Scolari brothers. I gave him the chair.
Okay. As you know, I've seen both of them, but I only remember the second one.
I've seen some other movies of his, but I don't remember him being in those movies.
Ghostbusters might be a stay tuned.
Oh, I'm sure there's someone who hasn't seen it.
Do I count? I don't remember it at all.
Oh, that's true. You haven't seen Ghostbusters.
Well, I've seen it because I've seen it with you, but I don't remember it.
Ghostbusters. You know what I haven't seen?
That might be a stay tuned.
The Blues Brothers.
Oh, you would like it.
No, I'm kidding. I've definitely seen.
Oh.
I've definitely seen Blues Brothers movies.
Fucking tease.
That first guy, wasn't he in Inception?
Adam's never seen Inception.
Oh.
Which?
Dog.
Which guy?
You've never seen
One Inception. Of the Three Wise Men?
Yeah.
Lou Jacobs?
I think the first guy who he introduced was in Inception.
That would be Raymond J. Barry, who is the actor from Justified.
Okay, maybe not the first guy. Maybe it was the second guy.
Okay, who's the second guy, babe?
John Berenger. Sorry, Tom Berenger. My bad.
Oh.
Tom Berenger.
Wow.
I lied. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry.
That is
I take it back.
Drastically different.
Isn't it? Well, I got the last name right.
I think.
He was in Inception.
Yep.
He played a character named Browning.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was definitely in Inception. It was one of my favorite movies.
It's such a good film.
Yeah, I just haven't watched it.
Is that a stay tuned?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nice.
This is another part where we get more information on the trouble Alonzo is in. Because one of the guys at the table says, I don't usually have meetings with dead men.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not dead yet. And they talk about, you know, heard you had a wild weekend in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they mention that the Russians are looking for him.
And they start bringing everything to light.
Yep.
And Jake's clearly eavesdropping.
Yep, just sitting in the corner and be like, oh.
Sipping his water.
Yep.
Waiting on his steak. I would have got Sam in myself.
They're talking about some judge, and Alonzo mentions she's really smart, and then they tell this story how she got fooled by some guy who went to court. He was a thief, and he went to court, and he shoved a bunch of peanut butter down the crack of his ass, and he shoved his hand down his pants and pulled out a hand covered in peanut butter. And then he cleaned his hand off in front of her. And the judge said, oh, my God, this man can't go to jail. He's crazy.
Yep.
Wow.
And he got sent to they call it the puzzle factory.
Yeah.
And
for 6 months?
Yeah. And he didn't see a single day of jail time.
Oh, Chunky Jiff.
Yeah. Yeah, Harris Yulin is telling the story. And they're just laughing.
I actually did laugh at that part.
I wonder if that will work.
I don't know. Nah,
they know it now. Everybody knows it now.
I mean, you'd be smelling the peanut butter.
You would definitely be smelling that Chunky Jiff if he actually did that.
Peanut butter is very strong. But they mention how is he going to get out of this. And he says something, he'll just cash in one of his old accounts.
Yeah.
And they say, well, which one? His oldest one. And you don't quite yet know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely not going to go to a bank and get out all of his drug money.
We don't know. We don't know where he keeps the drug money.
Maybe another mattress.
Yeah.
I feel like Denzel pays taxes.
Mm.
Not on the money he's stealing from his
criminals. Nah, he be taxing other people, as he said.
Right. That's true. They say, he says he's just going to tax him.
Yep.
And
he says that a few times.
Yeah. He asked for the...
I think the plan probably really was to tax him. And then he was like, oh, you know what? I got to...
Oh, he taxed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking that too. He mentions that they need a warrant. So the DA character says he'll get it, but it's going to cost him.
And I think that's the reason that he went and got that drug money from Sandman the first time.
Exactly. Mm. He stole that money from Sandman so he could pay off for this bribe to get this warrant. Because he tells Jake sees him put the money in the trunk of the DA's car and asks him, you know, how much was that? He goes, about 40 G's. He said, what's that for? He goes, you really want to know? Yeah. Well, you know. And not every arrest warrants don't come cheap. And he goes, oh, fuck, I shouldn't ask.
Mm.
This is where he makes the phone call to the rest of his squad. You know, call the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, get out some pickaxes and shovels. Check them out under maintenance. And they meet at this helicopter pad, what looks like a parking garage.
And this is the best cameo I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, where we meet the squad?
Yes.
All right, so the squad consists of Denzel's four other guys. He mentions earlier in the movie he has five guys, and Jake will make number six. But we never meet that fifth guy.
That fifth guy's probably on like a separate mission doing something else.
I mean, he might have been hit with a stinger and he might be out on his own medical leave. So the squad is Jeff, Paul, Mark, and Tim. And
very simple names that they chose.
Right?
Very.
Jeff, Paul, Mark, Tim.
Uh-huh.
Four letters or shorter.
Tim is played by Nick Chinland. Chinland? Who was in one of the Riddick movies. He was in Chronicles of Riddick. He was the bounty hunter that brought Riddick to that prison planet.
Another dad movie.
Yeah, it could definitely be another dad movie.
It's fitting that we're doing a dad film on Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, look at that. Jeff was played by Peter Green, who is the main villain in The Mask, the Jim Carrey movie.
Never seen it.
Oh, he was also in the first episode of Justified.
That's where I saw that guy from. I was like, God, I recognize that guy right there.
From Justified or from The Mask?
The Mask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the main villain in The Mask.
And I was like, damn, I recognize that guy.
He's also one of the bad guys in my favorite Martin Lawrence movie.
Bad Boys.
No.
What? Why you look at me like that's
Blue
crazy?
Streak. Blue Streak.
He's the guy who betrays them and kills one of their teammates at the beginning of the robbery, beginning of the film.
Okay.
It's got that great part at the end where the gangster tells Martin Lawrence to shoot him. He goes, oh, no problem. He like shoots him in the leg. And the guy's like, no. Kill him. And Martin Lawrence is like, oh, okay. But he has no hesitation to shoot the guy.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite parts of the film. But he always just looks like a scumbag. I don't think I've ever seen him play a good guy. He's also in Pulp Fiction.
Never seen it.
He's the worst he's ever been in Pulp Fiction.
I feel like everyone's the worst they've ever been in Pulp Fiction.
Some people just do not play good guys at all.
They don't. And this guy's one of them.
Somebody who pops up later.
Mm-hmm. Mark was played by a man I don't know from anything, Jamie Gomez. But Paul, Erica's favorite one, is played by...
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre. Yeah.
And that man, I didn't know he could act. Like, he is really good in this movie.
I mean, he's not in it much, but what he is in, it's
He holds good. His own, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a good laugh because, you know, Snoop popped up earlier. Yeah. And then Dr. Dre popped up, and I'm just like, and there's also a song at the very beginning of the song, at the very beginning of the movie, a Dr. Dre song plays, and I'm just like, okay,
this is crazy.
This is very on brand.
Like, after that, I was like, who else is going to show up? And then no one else does.
Well, technically, we haven't seen Terry Crews' face yet.
Well, okay, once again, Terry Crews and Famous in 2001 yet.
He was a famous football player.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But this is where they're talking about, you know, we're going to go in safety first. If he tries anything, we're going to shoot him. And we see them heading to the front and rear doors of this house. And as the viewer, you don't know whose house it is just yet. But they bust into this house and boom, they got Roger at gunpoint.
It was this moment where I was like, oh, okay, so the movie's about over. And then there's still like an hour left in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how is this not the climax of the movie?
So funnily, during that part, I had paused the movie like right before they broke into the house. And I saw that it was in the middle. And I was telling Edda, I was like, oh, this must be the midpoint. And I'm just like, that means something bad is about to happen.
Yeah.
Like something really bad is probably about to happen.
This is the start of our second act.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, okay. Because she definitely was not liking it.
Same.
And I'm just like, well, I was just warning you that something bad is probably about to happen because we're kind of like in at the middle.
But the guys kick in his doors and they tell him, you know, drop it. And he's reading a newspaper again and he sets down. He had those two guns in his hands already and he puts them on the table. They grab him. They keep him at gunpoint for the rest of the scene. And he says, you know, Alonzo's going to have your boy's asses when he finds out about this.
And then Alonzo walks in.
Yeah, sashays right the fuck in.
What's up, Roger?
Roger's like, what's up, brother?
Do you think Roger kind of realized when Alonzo walked in, he was like, oh, shit.
No, I don't think Alonzo ever thought he was going to get freaking...
Roger.
Roger thought it was going to play out like it does.
Mm.
Yeah, I never got that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because he was pretty chill the whole time.
He was just casual. Pissed because he was being taxed.
Mm-hmm.
And Alonzo tells him, you know... went to talk to the wise men. They want to tax you. You know, they got to pay for their boats and their mistresses and everything.
Yeah.
And they just made me go do it. I'm just a servant.
A civil servant.
And this is where he calls him a bitch. Roger calls Alonzo a bitch.
And I think this is the moment where I was like, oh, this is a trigger for this man. Because you can see he gets visibly angry.
Yeah.
He gets perturbed.
Yeah, when he gets called
a bitch.
Yep. Yeah.
You just a bitch.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, I feel like maybe that was the moment when he was just like, all right, this guy's like, getting shot.
He's got to go. He's got to die.
And we ain't taxing him no more. We taking everything.
Mm-hmm. And Alonzo says, you know, he's sorry about this. And Roger goes, no, you're not cop. And they go into his kitchen. He goes, who's going to pay for my floors? And it's like the city of L.A.
Yep.
And they start taking a chainsaw to his floor. And Roger's just like, oh, not the floor.
Also, but it's like a hideous looking floor. Like, my guy just ran to Home Depot. We can repair this.
Yeah, it looks like some old linoleum.
Yes.
It's not attractive.
And it's like old for 2001 too. It's like,
And they pull up this chest. It shows that Alonzo's just been sitting there watching them dig. He's got a bunch of cigarette butts by his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing any of the fucking work. This guy doesn't do anything this whole movie.
Rightfully so.
He takes a few people.
He uses the bitch in a little bit.
His trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it's own trigger.
Mm-hmm. So... they pull up this trunk and they open it and it's got $4 million in it. And he throws...
How much does this man need to go to the Philippines?
He needs a lot.
Because if $4 million is not enough to get you there and let you live for a very long time...
Well, he said he was going to buy an island.
Oh, he was buying an island.
That's what he said when they first meet him.
I believe so.
Oh, I thought he was just moving.
No, I think he said he was going to buy an island.
Oh, okay.
He ain't just moving. Okay. It's a little more.
Yeah.
He got to make sure nobody pops up to tax him, so he needs the whole island.
Gotcha.
Right.
That makes sense. Control the airstrip.
Yeah, somebody was popped up. He's like, oh, that guy's trespassing. Okay. I have the right to shoot him.
Oh, he also refers to this money before they dig it up as his pension.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, another thing that might go into what you were saying, he might have been a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A pension.
I believe that guy was definitely a cop.
Yeah, he was definitely probably Denzel's training partner.
Yeah, because he said that at the beginning, he said, you were the same way when you came in.
And Denzel says that lasts about a week.
Yeah.
So they dig this up, and he tosses Jake a brick of money, and he says, that's $250,000 right there. He said, you can go buy your wife a new minivan or whatever.
For $250,000?
With $250,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, man, what kind of minivan y'all buying in 2001?
A really good one.
The Maserati.
With the sliding door.
Mini Venti.
The original Stow and Go.
Yeah.
Got a TV in there.
This minivan's a transformer.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to soccer practice? And Jake's like, we're not really taking this, right? We're not stealing this guy's money. Come on.
Just a little bit.
After he watched Denzel steal someone else's money, he's like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Yep. Well, you know, that little bit of money, that 40, That $40K was nothing compared to this $4 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And all the other guys are like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm take this. Denzel says to him, he goes, no, it's your first time. You're nervous. I get it. I'm going to hold on to this for you. I got you. Don't worry.
And he definitely did. Mm-hmm. He definitely held on to it for him.
They go back out into the living room, and they sit down on the couch. And he's like, you know, if you kill someone on duty, they're your servant in the afterlife. And they're all kind of laughing and everything. And he goes, go ahead, shoot Ryder. Alonzo says that to Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Jake's like, what? No, I'm not going to. Go ahead. Go on, shoot him. And Roger's like, come on, kid, do it. Points the gun at him. Roger says, boom. And they're laughing and everything. And this is where Alonzo is like, you really not going to do it? All right, give me the gun. He stands up, and they're still talking, joking, laughing and everything. And Alonzo says, you know what they say? If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And he just shoots Roger in the chest with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger is just horrified. Cannot believe what's happening.
You know, I legitimately don't know if Roger thought that this was all a joke or if he knew he was going to die.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. Like, looking back at it, I don't think he thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
He did seem really chill, like way too calm.
He was chill
the whole time. Yeah, I don't think...
He suspected what was about to happen.
Right.
But to be fair, I think we said this before. I don't think Denzel walked in thinking he was going to kill Roger.
I think the bitch set him off.
Yeah. I think that he, when Roger called him a bitch, I think he was like, all right, well.
Well, he adjusted fire very fast.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because they brought that stinger. Like, they were ready to.
Yeah, they were. Maybe he just always has the stinger.
Maybe.
He's always prepared in case shit goes down. Because, like, then afterwards, they're like, okay, now we gotta figure out a plan.
Uh-huh.
And but they already had the plan figured out. Even Jeff knows he's the one that's going to be up to get hit with the gun.
Yeah.
So
maybe they did know they were going to kill Roger before they showed up.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't think Roger had a suspicion that he was going to die. Yeah. I thought he was probably thinking, you know, Alonzo's my friend. He's just going to take this money for the wise men and get the fuck out. But no, Roger gets got here. They immediately are like, all right, what happened? We busted through the front door. Jeff took two shots. New guy shot Roger. He goes, who shot Roger? And every guy goes, new guy. And they pull out the stinger, which is a little, basically a burner gun.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff stands near the door, and they put the gun in Roger's dead hand. And he fires one, hits Jeff in the vest, fires a second one, misses, and clips Jeff in the side.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to get their story straight. You know, hey, new guy shot him. They call in that the officer is down, and
Jeff was a bitch the whole time.
Can someone call me an ambulance?
He did get shot.
That's true.
He was bleeding out.
Even when they pulled him out, he's like, ugh.
He did take a bullet.
He did take a bullet.
Before he shot him the first time, he goes, yeah, man, I've been needing some time off.
Yeah.
He goes, give it to me. But this is where, all right, Jake, you got to be on board with this. Like, you came through the door, he blasted, and then you shot him back. It was a clean kill. And he goes, I didn't shoot him. And he goes, all right, well, if you don't say that, here's how it's going to play out. And he grabs the shotgun and he's pointing it at Jake again. And he says, a narcotics officer was killed in the line of duty while serving a high-risk warrant. Mm-hmm. He's like, he survived by his wife and his infant daughter. And he goes, you get the picture? And Jake says, oh, yeah, I got it. And then he does this move where he takes the shotgun and he throws Alonzo down the couch. And he's pointing the gun at him. And he tells him, that's the second time you pointed a gun at me today. That would not be a third.
That's PCP right there.
Oh, he's wired.
He's fucking wired.
But he's like, you know, look, two times you pointed a gun, there won't be a third. All the other guys have their guns pointed at Jake. I think it's Dr. Dre's character, Paul, is the one that's like, look, we got two more shots in that stinger. We need to kill this guy right now.
Mm-hmm. I like that Denzel's also like, look, you can say what you want, but five cops are going to say that you shot that guy.
Yeah, because he's got another. This is where he uses that line.
Yeah, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you got five cops saying, you shot the guy. Your fingerprint's on the gun.
Mm-hmm.
You did it. Also, you don't want to fight this, because if you do, we're going to send your blood downtown. They're going to test it, and they're going to find that you were on PCP. And Jake's like, you've been planning this all day. Alonzo said, I've been planning this all week.
And then he's also like, he's like, you'll get a Medal of Valor for this.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah. I think we also... No, I'm thinking something later on. I was thinking about, we got more information about Vegas right here, but I don't think we did. I might be thinking something else.
Yeah, we didn't get more info this time.
No.
But I'm still surprised that this wasn't the end of the movie.
Nope, it's just a midpoint. Because that, I mean, this is what really cements Alonzo as, okay, this guy is the bad guy in the movie. He's the bad guy in the movie.
He's not just a cop on a power trip. He is a legitimate murderer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay, he's actually the bad guy. Because up until then, you could have been believing that he got into a bad situation and was trying to find a way to get out of it.
Yeah.
And escape. But it was just like, no, I'm just trying to save my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm willing to take down whoever gets in my way.
Yep.
Because Roger didn't need to die, but he killed him. Maybe he might have killed Roger because what he plans later on in the movie, he needs one less witness. When we get to the bathtub, I'll explain that.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil too much just yet for everyone listening. In case you haven't seen this movie. It's a 23-year-old movie.
I hadn't.
That's true. I also hadn't, despite it being one of my father's favorite films.
There you go.
Is that why you say it's a dad film?
Every time I think about this movie, I think of my dad watching it on the couch, half asleep.
But Alonzo tells him, look, you give me 18 months, and we'll transfer you, and we'll get you detective. Again, just fucking gaslighting this man the entire time, telling him what he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is, also one of the points in the movie where Ethan Hawke is like, I am so over this man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe a shit, anything he's saying.
It was definitely a turning point for him. He was like, matter of fact, he said, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
He said that. That was definitely a turning point in that movie. He was like, all right, we're done with this. I'm turning you in and the rest of these guys too.
Mm-hmm.
But he still is able to convince him to keep going in the next scene.
Just for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because as he said, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And he had not yet figured out how he could prove that Alonzo was a bad guy. Because I think in the next scene, he's just kind of sitting there with this look on his face. Like, he's trying to figure out how the hell he's going to get out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But before they tell him, in about 30 seconds, this place is going to be swarming with blue suits.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make a decision. And before he walks out of the room, he goes, hey, Paul. And he just punches Dr. Dre in the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Dre's the one that was so eager to try to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, attacks him.
So it shows that the area is swarming with cops. Everyone's outside. Alonzo is shaking hands with his guys. The one dude's getting taken away in the ambulance. And like Jeremy just said a second ago, Jake is just standing there with this look on his face, like trying to figure out what the fuck to do next.
Because
he just witnessed a murder. And it's being played off like it was a self-defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And blamed on him.
So he kind of realizes the predicament that he was in. It's just like, I can't really say anything because it looks like I shot that guy.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on drugs right now.
Uh-huh. And I'm on drugs right now.
And Alonzo has this little black duffel bag where he's got all that money in it now. He's got about $1 million in that duffel bag.
Mm-hmm. Probably exactly $1 million.
Probably. It was probably a little extra. They probably took a little for themselves.
Mm. He took, what's his name?
Jake's
cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think he said he was taking the million because he had to give that away. Mm-hmm. And then he's taking Jake's cut.
He says he's going to hold on to it
for him. He's going to hold on to it.
So he's got his cut and probably Jake's cut in there on top of that million.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to his car. And as Alonzo gets in his car, he pulls out his phone. He makes a phone call. And he's sitting in the car. And you can hear him say, hey, just make sure that bathtub's clean. Which is another small thing that's important in a little bit.
Which is wild. Because what does it matter? If, you know, for what's about to happen.
I think it was like hint, hint.
Yeah, I was like.
Yeah. He might have been speaking in code.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, does it matter if the bathtub's dirty?
No, it didn't. Like you said, it was just cold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now they're sitting in the car and Jake is just pissed off. And he says, that man was your friend and you shot him. Denzel has that line of, you think he was my friend because he knew my first name? He goes, this guy sold drugs to kids. I've been watching him do his shit for 10 years, and I finally got him. But I think that's partially bullshit. And this is where he has the line of, he played him, and that this is chess, not checkers.
I believe he did actually watch that guy for 10 years do crooked cop shit and learn all his crooked cop strategies from that guy.
And just waited.
And just knew if I ever need
to cash out
I could take that guy down because I've literally watched him do crooked cop shit. I just got to think of a good way to do it.
And he won't suspect me. He'll let me get close to him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a wolf.
But again, this is where he's telling him. He goes, look, my guys aren't leaders. You're a leader. You could take my job one day. You want it, you have it. But you got to give me time. You got to let me work with you. And then you can change things from the inside. Just feeding this man more and more and more bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything this man says is a complete lie.
Mm-hmm.
Alonzo is the worst.
I think given the time, Denzel probably would have killed Ethan Hawke.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he did make sure the bathtub was clean.
He did. He did. He wanted him to have a clean tub.
I guess to stop any infection that might come in a death.
So now we're at, it's nighttime, and they go over to the hillside, which was mentioned by the girl.
14-year-old girl.
The 14-year-old girl earlier in the movie, Letty.
14 going on 35.
14 going on 35. We go to Smiley's house. Smiley's the leader of the hillside gang. And Jake says, what are we doing here? Alonzo tells him, you know, this is the house of one of my informants. You know, I said I'd take care of his family while he's locked up. And he has that bullshit line of, believe it or not, I do actually try to help my community.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls out a blender and a CD player out of the trunk of his car. They go up to the house and drop the stuff in the kitchen. And Alonzo says, hey, I'm going to hit the head real quick. I'll be right back. And Jake's in the room with Smiley and Sniper and Moreno. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But they're all played by actors I recognize from other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Curtis was on Fear of the Walking Dead, like the first two or three seasons. He was the Water Tribe chief in Avatar 2, where you won't recognize him in that because he's
blue.
He's an alien guy.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond Cruz, though, was in the first season of Breaking Bad as the crazed drug dealer, but he was also in Alien Resurrection as one of the Space Marines.
Oh, is that the one with Nota Reiner?
Yeah. And Noel, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. I'm going to butcher that man's name.
Gulagalami?
All right, Erica said it. Everyone will recognize him.
Gulagalami?
He plays Hector in every fucking movie.
Every fucking movie
does
he's
play,
in.
Does he play Hector in this movie?
No. In this, oddly. He does not play a Hector.
Does he play like a Pedro or a Jose?
He plays the Moreno.
Jesus, oh.
Oddly, he's, but like every other movie, because I saw him and I was like, well, there's Hector.
Yeah! He's always, he in almost everything I've seen this man in, he's played a character named Hector.
Yep.
He was in the first Fast and Furious movie.
As Hector?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
His character's name was Hector.
And it's usually always the exact same character.
Yeah.
Is this like a play that like every Hector is the same Hector? It's like the same universe shared?
I would believe it. Wow. I would believe it.
Hector's multiversal.
He's one of those character actors that you see him and immediately you recognize him.
Nice.
So they're sitting there, they're playing cards. And they ask Jake if he wants to play a hand. And Moreno has this funny line. He goes, hey, let me ask you a question. How long you been a pig? Sorry. My bad. A cop. And Jake's like, I've been a pig for 19 months.
Wow.
He just goes right along with it.
Well, he's had a day. He's tired. He's ready to go home.
He's had a day. And this is where his day is about to get a whole lot fucking worse. Because they're sitting there playing cards. And Smiley, Cliff Curtis's character, his phone beeps and he pulls it out and looks at it, closes it. And this is where they are asking, like, hey man, let me see your gun. And this is where Jake does the stupidest fucking thing he does in this entire movie. These guys who are in a known gang, he takes his gun out, he unloads it, and he gives it to these guys to look at.
Yep.
He might still be high.
He was on PCP.
Yeah.
But this to me was the dumbest moment he has in this entire film.
Definitely a rookie moment.
Oh my God, dude. Like, also, they're being friendly to you, but these guys will kill you.
He's also high, and he's also been drinking a lot today as well.
He's incredibly distraught.
Mm, yeah, he's not in a good place.
Yeah.
Given the number of times that he has had a gun pointed at him that day, though, I feel like he should not have taken his gun off of him.
No, that's true. He definitely shouldn't
have.
That's
true.
But when he does, Smiley gets the magazine, and Smiley gets up and looks out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where he's like, Alonzo, man, come on, we gotta go. And he goes to look out the window, and the guy's like, yeah, there's nothing out there for you. Mm-hmm. Alonzo fucking left this man here.
Yep.
Okay, this is one of my complaints, right? If Alonzo did not expect Jake to make it out of this house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he just shoot him back at Roger's house? Well, they had plausible deniability. They had a whole person who could have shot Jake. Whole situations.
Because that would just be another layer on their lie, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they would have had, because he shot Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Roger shot, what's his name?
They made it look like Roger shot Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when they busted in.
Mm-hmm.
When they busted in, Duke got shot. He shot Roger. So then it would have been like, okay, so who shot Jake?
Well, they mentioned they still had two more bullets in the Stinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's right. That's why.
But it just would have been.
They would have just made it seem like Roger shot Jake first and then got homeboy in the second round.
Or more just like, all right, well, how do we position, if Jake shot Roger coming through the door, how do we position Jake in a spot where it looks like Roger shot him in that moment?
Mm. Yep.
It would just be another thing they have to try to set up.
Yeah, okay. It's too much.
Like, it's already, like, if you don't think about it for a second, that bullet hit Jeff, missed the vest, and probably hit the door. Mm. So if he hit Jeff coming through the door wouldn't have been closed. Mm-hmm. But that bullet probably passed through him and probably hit the door. Or it's stuck in him. But it hit him, like, in the meat of his side.
Yeah, so. But it's, you know, also Alonzo probably has enough clout that no one's digging too deep into the nitty-gritty of it.
That's true. So Jake realizes that Alonzo brought him here for these guys to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we finally get the full story of what happened in Vegas. They tell him, you know, he needed that money because the last weekend in Vegas, he beat up some Russian guy, beat him to death apparently, and that Russian guy was in the Russian mob. And now the mob has a hit out on Alonzo where he needs to bring $1 million downtown by midnight, otherwise his name stays on that list. Mm-hmm. And they have a squad ready in case he fails to kill him. So everything he's done this last week, get a new cop, get that cop on drugs, plan to rob Roger and blame it on the new guy, and then have the new guy killed. All that was just to save his own skin.
Yep.
All of it. And they're playing another round of cards, and Jake throws the cards in the one guy's face, turns the table over, he punches Smiley, and tries to get out of the room, and then our Hector, not Hector, bashes him in the head with a bottle. They handcuff him, and they drag him to the nice clean bathtub, where they're going to blow his fucking head off with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
But before Smiley does it, Hector, not Hector, checks his pockets and he finds the little red wallet that he found in the alley earlier. Mm. So another thing came into play. He goes, hey, Smiley, isn't this your cousin? And he's like, you know, how'd you get this? He found it in MacArthur Park, I think he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, nah, you're full of shit. He goes, no, it's true. She was being attacked. This girl was being attacked by these two crackheads. I saved her. And Smiley gets pissed off because, you know, she's a civilian, man. She's not part of this. You shouldn't be bringing her into it. And he calls her up because he wants to get the truth. And she says she was attacked by these two guys. She thought they were trying to rape her.
She lied at first.
Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. Thank God yeah. She like finally copped up yeah. to it. Because I was like worried she was not
she
going
did.
To.
She did lie. She said she went to school and went to class yeah. Yeah. all day.
Oh, he knew she was lying though. Because he's just like, how the fuck did this random ass white guy get this?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And she mentions that she got saved by some cop. He was a young white dude.
Yeah.
And because of this, this one act he did earlier in the film, it saved his fucking life.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. Smiley pulls him out of the bathtub, takes the gun off of him and is like, look, you know, you saved my cousin, but you got to know this was just business.
Yeah, he was like, it's cool. It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
Just business, my guy.
Hey, I got paid to blow your head off in this bathtub.
Yeah, because in the box with the blender, there was a bunch of money in that blender.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the money Alonzo was paying him to take care of Jake.
Take care of Jake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Take this dude out.
Uh-huh.
It's probably something that he had done several times before.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure everybody, like when they were walking up and everybody's like, you know where the fuck you are, man? I'm pretty sure everybody knew that guy's about to die.
Uh-huh.
Everybody who comes here with Alonzo like that, they get killed.
They don't leave with Alonzo.
Yeah, they don't
like
leave
that.
With him. He leaves by himself.
Honestly, he probably got paid what part of Jake's cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold on to that for you. And then, you know, these guys are going to hold on to it for you next. And they're going to hold on to you when they're shooting you in the bathtub.
Right.
And this one really crazy dude is really into this shit.
Yes.
Because he wanted to see. Because he pulled the curtains, too. And he was like, I can't see, man.
Yeah. Like, that plays Hector. Noel, yeah.
I was like, that guy's crazy.
Yeah, hang on, man. I can't see. And he's wearing his white t-shirt. Man, you better get sprayed. Oh, and the next shot is Jake on a city bus. And this is probably one of the funniest shots to me on the bus. Because he's sitting there. He is distraught as fuck. He's covered in blood. He's got a black eye.
He yeah. is, like, has the most dissociative stare, like, in the world.
Yeah, he's in a rough spot right now. And yeah, the gun him. Just comes up into frame. And then he loads the gun right there on the bus. Just the driver going, sir, can you put that away, please?
A bus driver's like, oh, shit.
We're about to get robbed.
I knew I should have picked that guy up.
Damn it.
He's like, oh, so your stop is here? Cool, all right.
This is the last time I covered Jeff's shift.
It's like, oh, thank God.
But yeah, with this, like Erica described, that dissociative. Thank you. He's got that look on his face, and he just, without changing it, the gun just pops up into frame like a cartoon, and he loads it. It was great. And they drop him off at the jungle, and he's just walking up the middle of the street with a gun out. And you hear people cocking guns in the dark, and you can hear people talking shit, like, what are you doing here, rookie? And when he walks up to the gate, this is the first time we see Terry Crews' face.
Yes.
And he's standing there with the guy that I think his name was Bones earlier in the movie.
Off-brand Kobe Bryant.
Off-brand Kobe Bryant. Oh, yeah. His name was Bone. Yeah.
Just Bone, not Bones?
Bone. Bone. And they're like, what are you doing here, man? He just says, I'm here for Alonzo. And they just step out of the way.
They're like, right. Handling the problem for us. Go ahead.
Please, go fucking get this guy. Please.
It's like, we can't do it, but another cop can. Go ahead, sir.
Yep. He goes up to the apartment window and he throws little rocks because he sees the sun in there. And this is where we get the really good look at the rat tail in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid opens the door for him.
Because he's like, yes, father.
And he's like, guy who watched cartoons with me and took an interest in what I wanted.
Fun fact about the cartoon he was watching at that particular moment when Jake showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Looney Tunes or Merry Melodies cartoon about the three little pigs called Pigs in Polka. I recognized it from the song because it used to be one of my favorite episodes of Looney Tunes.
Really?
Yes. Nice.
And I was just like, damn, he's watching Three Little Pigs. I heard it. And you don't even hear it for that long. But I heard it. And I was just like, yo, that kid's watching Three Little Pigs.
Is that
having flashbacks.
Where they're like huge pigs and they're in like overalls?
No, they're like, I think they're like color coded. As a matter of fact, they like had on
Huey,
like
Dewey and Louie.
Yeah, actually, I think they had on green, red, and blue.
Oh, okay. If I see it, I might remember, but I can't recall right now.
Hold on, actually, hold on.
That makes sense though for it to be a Warner Brothers cartoon. It is this movie was distributed by Warner Brothers.
Mm.
Yep, they were dressed like that.
I vaguely remember.
No,
that.
I don't remember that.
The wolf looks like, more familiar.
They were
than
like
pigs.
Dancing.
Okay, so that's what little boy is watching.
Yeah.
He lets Jake in, and Jake's like, "Hey, man, you watch anything good on the TV? Yeah. Cool." He asks if his dad is there. He says he's down the hall in the bedroom. And he tells the little boy to hide and hides in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Jake goes down the hallway. And this is where we get the most unnecessary nudity in a film. Because he kicks the door in. And Denzel's standing there with handfuls of cash. And
smoking a cigarette.
And Eva Mendez is completely nude on the bed. There's no need for this. But...
It's a great shot of her. Like, chef's kiss.
Every time she popped up, I whispered to Etta, that's Eva Mendez.
And this scene, he was like, that's Eva Mendez's boobs.
Every scene she popped up, I was like, that's Eva Mendez. Just every freaking scene.
I told Erica when we were watching, I was like, this scene really stuck out to me when I watched this when I was younger.
I can't imagine.
The first time I watched this movie, I was about 20.
We get to the scene, I'm like, oh, I see why.
Yeah. But Denzel, again, starts with his bullshit. He goes, oh, man, you passed. You're in.
He starts clapping with the money.
Yeah, it's like, motherfucker, shut up.
Bro, you got to hand it to him. There's no way he knew that Jake was going to pop up in
no,
there.
No, right?
There's no way.
He thought he was done.
For him to be able to maintain the level of calm he had when this person who's supposed to be dead,
mm-hmm.
It's like, how did this man make it out of that place that I left him?
Like, wait a minute. I left him with dangerous gang members.
Even if he figured out what was going on and started shooting the guys in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
There were a ton of guys outside. How did he make it out?
On those two-story tall front steps.
Yeah, so I for him to be able to maintain his calm, like he had to have been in a lot of just crazy situations in his life.
A straight-up panic. He had to be like,
what? Yeah.
Well, also, he's been talking all this bullshit to Jake the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked that shit to get him to go to Smiley's house. He's probably thinking, well, if I keep doing it, he'll keep falling for it. He's been falling for it all fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake tells him, you know, put the guns and the money in the pillowcase. He says again, he goes, I got a room full of five cops saying, you shot that guy. He was your kill. He goes, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake again just tells him, you know, put your guns and the money in the pillowcase. And as he's handing the pillowcase over, he goes, you don't have any proof? He goes, I got my evidence. It's right there. Denzel smacks him with a pillowcase. Jake starts shooting. Alonzo dives to the floor. And under the bed has a swivel underbed shotgun.
That's
just starts
nuts.
Blasting.
Oh, that was crazy.
Like, I saw that. I was like, what the fuck is that?
He was just too ready.
Yes. Yeah,
he was ready. And he tells him, he goes, come on, Jake, where you want it? He goes, I'm surgical with this shit.
I'm surgical with this bitch, Jay. I heard that line, too. I don't remember where. I feel like it was on TikTok.
I've heard somewhere. It somewhere, but...
But I heard that several times before I actually Saw the movie.
Surgical with this bitch.
I'm surgical with this bitch, Jay.
And he goes, where, oh, where has my little Jake gone? He's shooting up this apartment. Jake's hiding in the kitchen. And the son comes out. And the son gets Denzel's attention. And Denzel points the gun at the boy.
Mm-hmm. I really 100% believe Denzel would shoot his own kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alonzo.
Sorry. Alonzo would shoot his own son.
He was going to do anything to save his skin from the Russians.
Anything.
Except get on a fucking plane like they suggested he do earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did tell him he'd better off hopping on a plane. Which is another thing that's important later. And Jake's in the kitchen. He's trying to get the boy to, you know, hey, come over here. Get out of the line of fire. And there's another difference between him and Alonzo. Alonzo doesn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. He's watching the kid, and the kid's looking at Jake, so he's getting an idea where Jake is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake runs, grabs the kid, dives into the living room. Alonzo's shotgun jams, and he tells the kid, you know, stay right here. He chases Alonzo out the window, mm-hmm. up onto the roof. We have a little rooftop chase around this pigeon coop, and
those poor pigeons.
Jake and Alonzo jump over to a different balcony, and when Jake gets up onto the balcony, Alonzo jumps out and just starts beating the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, this is probably the best day of Eva Mendes' character's life, because now she has all this money. That's just randomly there.
No, Alonzo took it.
He took it?
Oh, damn, because I was like, man, he left it, and she's like, all right.
No, because after this fight, they beat the absolute shit out of each other, but Alonzo comes out on top. Mm. He goes back to the pigeon coop on the new roof, opens it, and he hid the bag in there.
Ah, oh, damn, I missed that bit.
Yeah, and he makes it down to his car, and this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. He gets into his car, starts taking off, and Jake jumps off the roof and just power bombs onto the windshield of his fucking car.
So I thought he was going to jump before he got into the car and land on him. Because when he walked down there, I was like, Jake's going to jump off this damn roof down there. And I thought he was going to actually jump on him. So when he jumped on the car, I was like, damn, that guy's crazy.
Smashes that windshield. Yeah.
It's probably that PCP. The last remnants.
Never gave that guy PCP.
That was his undoing.
It fucked everything up.
Uh-huh. Yep.
If he'd given him something else, he would have been down.
Something a little milder, you know? Maybe actual weed.
Yep. And letting him save that girl in the alley. That was the other thing. That was his undoing.
Here's a Flintstone vitamin. Take this. But when he gets in the car, Alonzo pulls out a secret car gun, starts shooting at Jake, causes the car crash. Jake gets up and just starts beating the shit out of Alonzo, drags him out of the car, grabs the gun, grabs the money. Mm-hmm. The whole neighborhood comes down to gather around the scene that's happening in the street.
Well, they did fuck up everybody's car.
Right.
Oh, man. Fucked them up.
I thought they were about to fuck Alonzo up off that alone. Like, you just fucked up everybody's car that lives in the neighborhood. So hopefully, I thought they were about to come out there and fuck his ass up.
Hopefully they have more than just liability insurance. Like,
you can only hope.
Yeah.
But this, again, Alonzo tells them, he goes, you know, hey, someone shoot this motherfucker. Anyone who shoots him, I'll make him a rich man. Bone walks up and puts a gun down. He goes, man, you got to do some of your own dirty work around here.
Yeah.
Alonzo's like, is that how it is? That's how it is?
That's how it is.
He threatens to get cases on everybody, mm-hmm. throw them all up in Pelican Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Or that he kept them out of Pelican Bay.
I liked Bone, though, in this scene, because he was like, you know what, I'm going to hold my stand on it. He's like,
yeah.
I'm going to point this gun no matter what this man's saying. Yeah. And he holds it for him for a long time.
I feel like at that point, the rumor that Alonzo was going to get killed by the Russians had maybe spread. Because the other guys that he dropped Jake off to, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like word was getting around.
Absolutely. Okay. And it's so close to midnight right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, man, this shit's about to come to an end.
Yeah. It's coming to a head. That's probably where he was heading.
He's like, I don't think you got it in you, Jake. I don't think you got it in you to shoot a cop. And he puts his badge on. He goes, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Shoot me right there. He goes, what's going to happen is I'm going to get that gun and I'm going to shoot you with it. And he bends down the first time and he picks up a pack of cigarettes. Kind of does a little fake out.
Yeah.
And he puts a cigarette in his mouth and he goes, now, I'm going to pick that gun up. You don't have it in you to shoot me in the back. I know you don't. And when he goes to pick up the gun, Jake shoots him in the ass.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jake tells him, he goes, the next one will kill you. But Denzel has that great delivery of, you motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Shot me in the ass. And he tells the neighborhood, hey, somebody kill this fool. And they won't do it. Jake says he's taking his evidence, the money. Oh, yeah. And Jake's got the gun pointed at him. And he asks him, he goes, look, you want to go home or you want to go to jail? Mm-hmm. Or you want to go to jail or do you want to go home?
Mm-hmm.
And Denzel's like, I want to go home, Jake. I want to go home. Give me my money. Let me go home. Come on. Give me my money. this is where he goes on his whole rant when the neighbor, Bone walks up, picks up the gun again, and he's like, he tells Jay, he goes, Jay, go on, get out of here, man. We got this. Mm-hmm. And Alonzo goes on this freaking tirade, threatening them, and he's got that great line. Anybody else want to say it?
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how he says it in the movie. Yeah. But he's got that good line. Everyone just walks away. They're all like, man, this guy isn't shit.
Yep.
And he goes, that's cool. That's fine. You can shoot me, but you can't kill me. And Jake just leaves. He walks out of the jungle. The next shot is Alonzo heading to
the airport.
LAX. And he's fucked up. You can see him sitting in the car. And he's like trying to shuffle because he got that bullet in his ass. How the fuck's this man going to get on an airplane?
He has a bullet in his ass.
Like, I know this is pre-2000.
Pre 9/11.
Thank you. Pre 9/11.
Yeah, so you can make it all the way to the gate without hitting TSA.
But this man's covered in blood and wounds. There's no way they're going to let him just get on a plane. But he stops at this red light, and this SUV pulls up next to him. This lady's driving, and she lights a cigarette. And when the light turns green, Alonzo goes to take off, and these other vehicles come out of nowhere, block him in. He tries to back up. The lady in the SUV mm-hmm. blocks his escape. These guys jump out with these automatic guns and just light Alonzo up. He missed that midnight deadline. They said there was a squad looking for him. And he gets out of the car, and he's just... I almost felt bad for him in this moment because he's so fucked up. Like, he's like a suffering animal.
It actually reminded me of when they fucked up dude. And, Sonny? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric kept making that comparison.
Yep.
Like Sonny and The Godfather.
Yep. Just like The Godfather. I was like, damn, they just hit another movie where they shot somebody up.
They lit that car up, and I was like, is he going to get out like Sonny? Yep. And then he does. I was like, shit, man, they're just missing the toll booth.
Oh, man. And then they light him up some more. Yes. Again, just like Sonny.
He was still moving. Like, damn, that motherfucker survived.
Right? They fucked him up. And then the last shot is Jake rolling up to his house in a car that we never saw him drive earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering,
where the hell did he get that car?
Where did he leave that car all day? Yeah.
It's probably been at that diner the entire day.
It's nothing but parking tickets on the windshield.
Yes.
And he goes into his house. And this is where we get a little voiceover of the news. And it's got that same line that Denzel used when he shot Roger earlier. A narcotics officer was killed today near LAX while serving a high-risk warrant. People, the higher ups, the three wise men, spun that shit to look like he got killed in the line of duty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how our movie ends. It was a hell of a day for Jake Hoyt.
The worst day of his life.
The worst day ever.
I would love to know what happened the next day. Like, would love.
I feel like he might have went and became a fireman, like he mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah, because when they asked how long he's been a cop, he goes, 19 months, should have been a fireman.
Should have been a fireman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He definitely is not ever going to try and be an undercover
narcotics.
Yeah, he's never going to try to be a narc.
No,
again.
No.
Fucking narc.
Mm-mm. This man had a hell of a day, but I would love to have known what happened the next day.
Yeah. Or just honestly the rest of the trajectory of this man's life, because you know he was traumatized.
Seriously traumatized. And it was just like, that's it? And I'm like, bro, it's been 2 hours. He's like, that's how it ends? I'm like, it was just one day. Movie's called Training Day, not Training Week.
Training afternoon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the good guy made it out alive. The bad guy died at the end.
He was definitely the villain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And this is the first time I can ever remember Denzel playing a villain. So this was exciting the first time I ever watched it.
Which is funny, because earlier in the movie, I asked Ed, I was like, hey, Ed, who's the villain? I think it was, I want to say it was at the midpoint or somewhere before that. I was like,
right before they got Roger?
Yeah. I was like, who's the villain? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on in this movie.
Etta looks up and goes, what's happening?
Yeah, I swear she had been paying attention in the last five movies we've watched. She's like, what's happening? And I'm just like, are you even watching these movies?
But to be fair, they haven't been great movies.
Okay, the Never Been Kissed was terrible.
It was horrible.
The worst movie we have done so far is Never Been Kissed. So far, I've liked all these movies either a little bit or a lot, except for Never Been Kissed. That's the only movie we have watched I do not like at all.
Shout outs to Drew Barrymore. If you ever hear this, I'm sorry that I did not like that movie. I definitely like you in other movies. But this one wasn't it.
Jeremy, this is your movie. What'd you think about it, all in all?
I liked it. I mean...
Would you watch it again?
I'd watch it again, just to kind of fully see how everything played out. Because I spent a little bit of the, I guess, not necessarily the first half, but most the first part of it, just trying to see where it was going. Because they didn't do a lot of info dump, as I like to call it. They didn't dump a whole lot of information on you. And in fact, I think the effect they were going for is they were trying to make you feel like Jake a little bit, mm-hmm. where you're just alone for this ride. You don't really know what's going on. You just know that Alonzo just keeps going places and he keeps doing things. Yeah. And you're trying to figure out, okay, what the hell is going on? He's doing something, but I don't know what he's doing. And you really don't find out what he's doing until, you know, people keep mentioning the stuff with the Russians and everything kind of comes to a head at the midpoint. And I guess had you not put it together yet, at that point, you really knew. You're like, oh, hell, Alonzo's basically the bad guy in this situation. So they were really trying to put you in Jake's shoes where you didn't know what was going on until you were in it pretty deep.
Yeah.
Which I like that about the movie.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Absolutely hated this film. This is not a movie for me. I don't like Cops. I don't. And it really hit everything I hate about Cops. I was like, nope. Don't like this one.
I feel that.
Yeah.
There were also no British people.
Nope. Oh, well, you know.
To piggyback off what Jeremy said, I agree that it's supposed to be like, you're supposed to be confused like Jake.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the real turning moment, like you said, was when he shoots Roger. You mm-hmm. really get the idea that this is not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fact that when it all comes together at Smiley's house and Smiley tells you exactly the kind of shit that Alonzo was in,
yeah,
that's the real hit you in the face moment. Like, oh yeah, this is why everything happened today. Because we get all those little mentions of the Russians
mm-hmm.
and what happened throughout the film. But that was the moment where you get the real exposition yeah. dump of, all right, he did this, they want this, or this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he did this, this, and this to you
yep.
to facilitate his own needs, and now we're going to kill you. But I like this movie. I liked it when I watched it 11 or 12 years ago for the first time. I like a cop movie, though, but I prefer New York City cop movies.
Mm. But you do like Bad Boys.
Yes, but I also haven't seen it in 15 years.
So if you watch it again, you'd be like, you know what? This is everything I hate about Cops. I now hate Bad Boys.
Maybe.
Well, they are the kind of cops who are also like, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
They're a little bit...
More so Mike Lowry than...
Marcus?
Marcus, thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to remember his character's name. So do you guys want to take your guesses on how much a theater ticket would have cost back in 2001 to see this film?
Ooh, 2001?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. $7.50.
Mm-hmm. $5.
Ooh, Jeremy is very close. He's less than a dollar off.
Damn.
$5.66.
Damn.
I should have said what I was originally going to say, which was like $5.50.
Oh, you would have been even closer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our next movie is something Erica picked.
Yeah.
And she is smiling ear to ear to talk about it.
It's a movie about family.
All about family.
Oh, yes. So much family. What movie are we doing next?
Fast and Furious 7. F7?
I think it's just called Furious 7.
Furious 7?
Furious 7.
Furious 7.
I thought it was Furious 6 and Fast 5.
Well, Fast 5, Furious 6, Furious 7.
It wasn't Fast and Furious 7?
No.
What they should have called it was... 7 Furious, 7 or 7-5, right. or God. Fast.
Jesus. They should have just been like Fast and Furious 1, Fast and Furious 2, Fast and Furious 3.
Okay, which 2 Fast, three, 2 Furious three is fantastic. 3 is really
6.
Wait, 3 is actually 6?
Yeah, if you watch these movies in chronological order, it's 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3, then 7. So that's going to be our next episode, Furious 7. This has been our episode on 2001's Training Day. I hope everyone enjoyed it. I know I had a good time today.
Yeah.
I had a good time today talking about it.
But not the last 2 days where we watched it?
No.
Okay.
She was ready to talk smack about it.
Yes.
Erica didn't like this movie. Hopefully one day we'll find a movie she actually does enjoy. But for right now...
I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I would never watch it again.
Wow.
Yeah, I stand by what I said.
Yeah.
So I'm Adam.
I'm Erica.
I'm Jeremy.
We've been getting to the theater. Have a good one.